If you'd like to follow along with the text that I'd like to take for our introduction, you could turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans.
Welcome to the Grace and Mercy Hour, brought to you by Rocky Mount Church in Arab, Alabama. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation, a family-integrated church that seeks to worship God in spirit and in truth, a church that seeks to maintain the simplicity of New Testament worship. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for contact information, and may the Lord bless our time together today.
Brother Paul starts off, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to engage one another to incite that process, that transformation process. I want you guys, and I know that each one of you want it for each other. I want you to not be conformed to the image of the world. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to see you thriving in your walk with God. I want to see you zealous about the word. I want to see you furrowing your brow at how you can better serve Christ. I want to see that process happen, and I trust that you all want to see that in all one another, and we can all help one another do that as we endeavor to not be conformed to the image of the world. Regarding that, there are forces among the world, in the world, that are actively striving to undermine the things that we believe, the things that we do, and we know that, we see that. You watch TV, listen to music for 10 minutes, you'll see it, you'll hear it, you'll get that message. What I want to talk about specifically this morning is one particular area where I see is a pretty hot battlefield in that war, where I see a lot of forces who are having, unfortunately, a lot of success in spreading an erroneous message to the church and to believers. I see a lot of error and a lot of mistruths being accepted by believers of various orders, believers that I've met along the way, not necessarily just old Baptists. But the topic I want to talk about this morning is family. I want to talk about family. I want to talk about marriage. I want to talk about kids. I want to talk about guys and talk about girls. I perceive that family is a very war-torn battlefield in this conflict of the world, the worldly forces attacking Christianity and seeking to slip in ideas that would prevent you from having your blessings, from receiving those blessings of the Lord. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about family. We're going to cover a little bit. I have 2 points that I want to make. The second point has two halves, so two and a half, one and a half. What I'd like to talk about this morning is family, and so let's jump in. The first idea that I perceive, that I hear a lot of times among young brothers and sisters, who folks around my age who maybe have recently gotten married, who don't have kids yet, some folks older, some folks younger, I see this idea that family, and I'm talking about having a spouse and having kids, having your own spouse and your own kids, that family is something that should pretty much just kind of be put off for a season. That when I'm young, I should go to school, I should go to college, I should do my thing, take some time to find myself, just kind of, I need to do me, and I'm going to do me for as long as it takes for me to get bored with doing me. And, you know, once I've kind of sown my wild oats, and once I've done all the things that I want to do with my life, Then I'll meet somebody and I'll settle down and I'll get married, and then once I get married, you know, I just want to enjoy them for a season, right? And so, you know, let's be married for 5, 10, 15 years, you know, then we can start talking about kids. Maybe when I'm in my late 30s or something, you know, this idea of family, it's something for you to do once you've done yourself. That's the idea that I'm seeing. I'm not condoning this. I'm saying that's the idea that I see, is that family is something that you should put off. But it's something that's good to do, but it's something that's good to do later. That you should do it later. That you should enjoy your youth. That you should enjoy these things. You know, go to college and have fun and get a job and travel around and see the world. That you can put off family. Family's going to be there when you want it to be there. But you just do you first. So I see this mentality, and I see it, the way I see it is just in these little comments that people make, these little mentalities that kind of rear their heads in conversation, people talking about kids and saying, oh, you know, like, I like to have kids, but golly, I feel like my life would just kind of be easier without them. and maybe that's true. I think in a lot of ways people look to children and they look to marriage and, it's responsibility. It's a big responsibility. They look at family as something that's needful of me, of my time and of my resources. It kind of has a consuming effect on me. And just by virtue of that, people get nervous about it. That it's gonna demand a lot of me, and I'd rather invest those time and those resources that I would invest in family, let me invest it in myself first, and then I'll invest it with them once I'm kind of bored with investing in myself. And you know, people that think that are not wrong. Family is a responsibility. Family takes time. Marriage takes time. Kids take time. It takes a lot of money. We know that these things are true. We know that family is a responsibility that requires investment on our part. Lots of time and lots of money, lots of care, lots of attention. We know that. Deeper down, though, if we dig down in that mentality a little bit, I'll just be direct. I call it selfishness. I call it selfishness because this mentality is founded here. It's founded in my life is my own. My life is mine, and I am going to do the things that I want to do, and I am not going to let family, marriage, or kids, I'm not going to let these things get in the way of me doing what I want to do with my life. You might disagree with me. I find that selfishness because here's why. The third chapter of Colossians, verse 2, says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Scripture tells us that you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is, your life is something that he holds in the palm of his hand. It is hid with Christ in God. It's something that he possesses. And for you to try and hold that thing in your hand and wag it around and say, well, this is mine, I'm going to do with it what I want. Well, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. You're trying to claim something that doesn't belong to you and say, well, this is mine, I'm going to do with it what I want. We are dead and our lives are hid with Christ. The 74th Psalm, verse 2 says, remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. This is Brother David, the author of the Psalms, speaking towards God. Sidebar, how amazing is it that David was revealed so much so in the Old Testament. He says, remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old. David of the Old Testament, of Old Testament Israel, knew that he was part of a purchased, something that was purchased. And not only purchased, he wasn't talking about something that was going to happen in the future. He says, thy congregation was purchased of old. Before David. Before David wrote the Psalms, we were purchased. We were redeemed. The rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast redeemed. You have already done it. At the time of the writing of the Psalms, God's people were redeemed. Isn't that interesting? But this language that he uses, thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. When you purchase something, that means it was a cost. There was a cost to it. It belonged to somebody else and there was a cost tied with it. Somebody came along and administered the cost and received the thing. In this case, the congregation. We are a congregation that was purchased of old. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We're called a purchased possession. We're something that was purchased by Christ. Christ paid a price to have a people unto him. He paid a price for each individual life that is part of his congregation, that he purchased of old, the rod of his inheritance that he redeemed. Nobody's going to go to a pet store. If you're interested in buying a dog, you go to a pet store and you buy a puppy, you give them the money, you get a receipt for your purchase, and then you go home and you leave the puppy there. And you go to the pet store and you like give it snacks and give it a little pet and then go home for the day. When you purchase something, you take it home. It belongs to you. When I pay money for something and I receive that thing in return, it's now mine. I'm going to, if it's small enough, I'm going to hold it in my hand. I'm going to hold it. It's mine. I'm going to take it to my house. We are a congregation. We all individually as people were purchased. We are a purchased possession that Christ purchased at grace, at great cost to himself. And so for us to look at our lives and say, well, I'm going to do what I want and I need to spend time doing this, that, and the other because this is my thing and this is my life and I've got to make sure these things happen. Our life does not belong to us. We are dead and our life is hid with Christ. Christ holds us in his hand. His life, our life is hid with Christ in God. And I see this idea going just beyond just the family and just beyond marriage and beyond kids. This idea of, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to church. Yeah, I'm going to go back and serve God once I do blank. Once I finish college. Once I get a new job. Once I move to another state. Once I whatever. This idea of I need to go and I need to do a thing first. And then once that thing is done, I will serve God. Once that thing is done, I will invest in the church. Once that thing is done, I'll start taking reading the Bible and praying seriously. This idea of let me put it off. If you'd like, I want to flip to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. You flip to the fifth chapter of Ephesians and we'll find some language that addresses this. Ephesians chapter 5, the first verse, says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 10, "proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He spends Ephesians 5 writing about some of these things that come into our life when we are subject to our flesh. He writes about fornication and uncleanness. He talks about foolish talking, filthiness, jesting, which are not convenient. And he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." He says, looking at these things, these sins, he says, these are the things which cause the wrath of God to fall upon the children of disobedience, to fall upon man. These are these things that incite the wrath of God. But he goes on and says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. And he goes on to say, look, you have been transformed, you have been changed. You're no longer in subject to these dark forces and to these dark things. You don't have to continue walking in these things that incite the wrath of God. He's talking to people who have sinned in the past, who have experienced a change, and who are now endeavoring to walk as Christians, to walk as people who are obedient to the Lord. Would you identify as that kind of person? Sure, I would. I think a lot of us would as well. I've had my time in the past, and I've moved forward, and I've made a change, and now I'm endeavoring to walk in the light of obedience. But in verse 16, we'll do verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly, that's a circum meaning kind of in a circle. That means look around. That means looking around, seeing what's around you, being aware of what's going on. Walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on around you. Have your eyes open. Look. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools who aren't looking around and they're just going through life and they're not stopping to look up around and see what's going on around them, but see who's around them. Not as fools who do not walk circumspectly, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Friends, I think the message that he's giving to these people is the same message that he's giving to us. And for whatever that is inside of us, and perhaps you share this experience, I know that I do, this sense of, you know, I need to do my life. I need to do these things that are good in my life. I need to do the things that I want, and I need to get them done before so much time, you know, before I have kids, before I do this, before that. I've got these things that I want to do. He's saying, friends, you need to redeem that time. You have spent time enough in those things whereupon the wrath of God falls upon the children of disobedience. You have spent enough time in those things. We as individuals, you and I have spent enough time already in those things. I need to redeem that time. I spent enough time in those things, it's time to move ahead. We as a family, me and Holly, your family in particular, whoever is your family has spent enough time and had enough exposure to these things, which causes the wrath of God to fall upon the children of disobedience. It's time to redeem that time. Buy it back. Let that season of your life be done and move forward. We as a religion, as a church, have spent enough time walking in those things and participating in those things which cause the wrath of God to fall upon the children of disobedience. We need to move ahead. We need to leave those things behind, redeem that time, starting now as best we can, and move forward from those things. Let that be a season of your life that is past and is gone, and let's move forward. Kind of echoing what Brother Matt talked about, Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Those things which are behind, those things that we've been talking about, we're going to leave those things behind. Paul, of all people, the author of the book of Philippians, would know about having things in your past that are shameful and having spent enough time doing enough evil. He says, those things which are behind you, forget them. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto the things which are before. Reach forth unto service to the church. Reach forth unto your Savior. Reach forth to knowing God more. We can leave those things behind, and we can redeem that time by reaching forth. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus expresses it in Luke chapter 9, verse 59. He says, and he said to another, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, and go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus hits that nail on the head. Don't get caught up in the let the dead bury their dead or going home. Don't get caught up in the specifics. I want to focus, we can look at that another time. I want to focus on the spirit of this message. Jesus is calling out in a way to these people. We trust that Jesus is not calling out to them in a way that I want you to ask me into your heart so that you can have eternal life. I believe that he's calling out to them with a call of discipleship, saying, come, I want you to serve me. I want you to come follow me and come preach the gospel with me. And these folks that he's making this call to, they're saying, yes. They're saying, yes, I'll come, but first, hang on. I've got something that I need to go do. They're saying, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Yes, Jesus, I will serve you, but first, let me go do blank. But first, let me go do this thing. I believe if we can find a way to leave that which is behind us in the past, if we can leave those things which are behind us and forget those things which are behind us and reach forth, we can come to a place where we can reach forth towards service to our church and reach forth unto being transformed by the renewing of our minds, free from the shackles and free from the messages that the world and that Satan intentionally put before you in order to try and shackle you and prevent you from experiencing the joy of serving your church and prevent you from experiencing the joy of sincere service to the Lord.
Thank you again for listening. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation located near Arab, Alabama. We invite you to look us up on the web at rockymountpbc.org. That's rockymountpbc.org. You'll find various resources there on our website, as well as additional links to other Primitive Baptist sites. You'll find contact information there, and we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to the next opportunity we can spend some time together. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.